The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathert. Our study is taking us into the book of Acts these days. We're in the middle part of the book. We'll deal with the last half of Acts chapter 11 today. It's a live Bible study program. We'll give you telephone numbers where you can call in with questions and comments if you would like to do that. Pass those along in just a moment. Let's say good morning and welcome to Pastor John Schmidtke. Pastor Schmidtke at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in St. Louis. The basketball season done yet?
Not quite for us. We're headed to Indiana.
Going to Valparaiso for the national tournament?
We're going back there, yeah.
How many of those have you won? Like all of them?
No.
You've won there.
We've won two.
Oh, two.
Yeah, we were 06, 07. We took 08 and 09 off, I guess.
You have a good team? Got a chance?
We have a pretty good team this year. I think it's one of the best teams we've ever had.
Really?
Yeah. Have you had our team this year at all?
I have not seen it. No, I didn't see it.
You the referee?
Yeah,
yes.
I wish I had.
It's been a good year. Good year for ministry with the group. Good group. Next Sunday, actually.
What are the ages? Is this middle school or is this high school?
This is high school. And actually, next Sunday, this coming Sunday, there's 10 of the guys who are getting confirmed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's exciting. That's always exciting. I mean, that's the best part of the whole season, really. It's great. I mean, it's fun to play basketball and that, and it's fun to win and all that, but it's great to see guys get to know Christ. And I think, the thing I've learned over the years, especially teaching confirmation, what happens at our church, I'll just tell you kind of what happens, and briefly, when you come to our church, if you want to play on our high school team, you need to be in church every Sunday in order to play. And B, you need to go to Bible class, which is Wednesday night before practice. Then they don't play.
And really?
Yeah, really.
I mean, you know, these days,
really,
we say a lot of those kinds of things, and then we say, all right, go ahead.
No. And actually, confirmation with us is about 20-plus sessions, about 75 minutes each. And if you miss, you got to make up. And sadly, unfortunately, about a week and a half ago, we had to tell a starter that he was done. I mean, he still can come to church. But
no basketball.
Well, he wouldn't.
He didn't comply.
And that's the law, but it's the way in which people have heard the gospel.
He probably thought, well, they'll never do that to me. I'm a starter.
Yeah, we have to do what we have, because at the end of the day, it's about Christ. And we've seen that over the years. Our three coaches were high school kids when I came 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's just what's cool, to see guys grow in their faith and, I think everybody should. I haven't been able to bring my field workers into that mode just because of the time of when we meet. But when you deal with high school guys who have been out in the world a little bit, or gals, same deal, and who have, they don't take the pat answers. they'll throw some really important questions, and that's good. That's what we're there for.
And that's what you're here for today.
Yeah. Yeah. As he sets up all the hard questions out there in radio land.
Questions. You haven't had a hard question yet. I'll see if I can think of one today. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment here on our Bible study program, we'll pick it up at verse 19 and finish chapter 11 today. Let's begin in prayer, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord, for this scripture, for this picture of a Holy Spirit-filled church, a church in which your Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is just all over it, a church that we see that is so exciting, A church that's being used powerfully by the Spirit to reach people that they might know life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we sit this day before this scripture and see the snapshots that you give us in what your Spirit does, Father, we pray that you would move our hearts, that that same Spirit would put in us a new excitement to reach the people around us with the Lord Jesus. And even within us, in as we're part of church communities, those of us listening who are part of church communities, help us to have the fire again, ignite in us the fire again, rather, to keep the most important thing, still the most important thing, that others may know the life we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, Pastor Schmidtke, one of the things that I have trouble getting a handle on is the magnitude of the things that we're reading. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was just some absolutely dinky little movement that 99.9% of the people didn't even know was going on. All right, so Peter went to Cornelius' house, and then he came back to Jerusalem. Big deal. He went to one house. But then today it says that Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, and that suggests, no, it had some magnitude. It had some size. Do you have an idea how big or small this early Christian church movement was?
Well, I think in the book of Acts of where you've gone so far, I think here, as we're in, I mean, I know at the end of Acts chapter 10, you had sort of the Gentile Pentecost. I think here in Acts chapter 11 at the end, I put this scripture right up there with Acts chapter 2. It is
no
way. Yes, it is so exciting. And
this was exciting?
Yeah, it
did
it,
you read Acts chapter 2?
I did read Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 is exciting, but this is really exciting.
I must not have been paying very careful attention.
And one of the reasons this is exciting is that most people tend to stay among the people that are like them. And Acts chapter 2, you know, Peter is a Galilean Jew, you know, he's in and the disciples as well, they're in Jerusalem, they're in on familiar ground. I know there's Jews of every nation gathered there speaking all different dialects, and the Holy Spirit enables the disciples to speak in languages and that. But here the church goes into something that, well, even to today in 2010, is outside the church's comfort zone. Because we're going into Gentile territory. We're dealing with people who are not like us, who are different from us. And we're having to think
people
about...
people who are beneath us.
Yeah. I mean, and the church at large was still confused about that. And we know that as we look into the Pauline letters, back in Acts chapter 10, you know, that whole vision that Peter works through, he's still a little confused about that, of what I can eat and what I can't eat. You know, behind that is the Jew-Gentile distinction, what's clean, what's unclean. Even to 2010 today, the church is still uncomfortable with that. What strikes me in Acts chapter 11, and I guess the understanding that I get in this scripture, what hit me is this. I am a learner. I am a learner who is grateful when the person teaching me gives me pictures. Some people are good with an instruction book, you know, like Christmas time when they got to put their kids' toys together. I would do better with pictures and drawings. I don't want to read that stuff. Mm-hmm. Give me the picture, the drawing. Better yet, give me a video today, a DVD. I'll do better with that. And that's why I'm so excited about the 19th through 30th verse of Acts chapter 11, because I get pictures of the Holy Spirit's work in the church here. And it just excites me. I get three main pictures here as I look here. The first thing that I see is a Holy Spirit happening, and it's not what most of us would expect. We need to start reading into the text.
Verse 19 of Acts chapter 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord.
Let's pause it right there. There's a Holy Spirit happening in the church here, and it's not what you'd expect. Interestingly, like happens so many times in Acts, you know, like one sort of outline of the book of Acts is back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the last words of Jesus, where he says, I want you to take the message of me to Jerusalem, kind of at home, to Judea, a little further out, Samaria, crossing into the Gentile territory. That's where we are today. And then to the ends of the earth. Some people have used that as sort of a outline of the book of Acts. Here, we're drawn all the way back to Acts chapter 8. And here's the Holy Spirit happening. Up until Acts chapter 8, remember, you really have the church in Jerusalem. You know, in 4 or 5, you know, especially you get that whole episode of Peter and John and the healing of the lame man and what that means. And it's a powerful message in Jerusalem. And it would be very comfortable to just to sit in Jerusalem. Maybe we'll wander out to Judea area. But how will we ever go to Samaria? That is, how will we ever cross cultures, which is the first step to going to the ends of the earth? How will we ever go to someone who's different than us, and like you said so well, that we would even think sort of beneath us? We got to get over that if we're to go to the ends of the earth. And the way the Holy Spirit does this, the fuse to the stick of dynamite, is in Acts chapter 8, when Stephen gets persecuted. You know, the death of Stephen. Now, how would it be that death would be the moment? Because when you were a follower of Jesus and you saw what they did to Stephen, as Quick Draw McGraw used to say, exit stage right. Right? You're gone. I mean, you're scattered. Here's God through his Spirit saying, exactly. I told you to go out everywhere, but you wouldn't go. So I had to light the fuse. Dun, 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 dun. I was thinking of that because Peter Graves just died, remember?
Yeah, Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Light the fuse to scatter the church. Well, that's what happens that gets us into Acts chapter 11. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia. So they're in Jerusalem. Think in your mind, they're going north up the coast. And then they get on a boat to go to Cyprus and Antioch. But see, they're still right where we would be. Speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Yeah, I know what he said. I know he said to everybody. But I'm most comfortable inside my comfort zone, which would be a Jewish comfort zone. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And look what God does through his Spirit. And the hand of the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Now, believed and turned to the Lord, let's just see that as one package deal. You know, believed and turned, came to faith. Why? The hand of the Lord was with them. When the hand of the Lord, and why was the hand of the Lord with them? Back up to verse 20. Because they're preaching the Lord Jesus. That's when the hand of the Lord is with you. The hand of the Lord was with them. An explosion of wonderful, epic spiritual proportions is happening through the Holy Spirit when people are talking to other people about Jesus, even though they're different than me, even though they see things different than me. Maybe they were speaking in ways that the Jerusalem church hadn't gone before, but still the same Jesus, the same crucified and resurrected Jesus. But see, when the hand of the Lord is with you as you speak the word of God, then promises start happening. Remember, my word, Isaiah 55, which goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. And let's pause there a moment. What does that mean? Does that mean that the moment that you speak God's word, that immediately the person's coming to faith? No. Sometimes it happens like that. More often than not, the word comes to the person, a lot of times I've found, and first indicts them. And it sits inside of them. You know, till the moment comes. That's one of the things, we're talking about basketball as we started. Mm-hmm. I'd like to tell you that everybody who comes to Bethlehem, of the young man, plays basketball, maybe even goes to confirmation class, gets confirmed, is with us forever and ever. That's not true. Maybe 40%. But when the word gets placed into someone, two Sundays ago it happened again. You know this guy. You used to ref him about 3 years ago. And I remember even when we were going through confirmation, he was understanding it, but he wasn't hearing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he's going through it.
Not hard.
He's going through it. I want to play basketball. I understand that. And some people, you know, would have a problem with that. I don't. Because in time, my God, the Spirit, well, two Sundays ago, he's back in church. This past year, I see him probably about every 5-6 weeks. And you know him because he's really, really tall.
Yeah.
And why would he be in church? And he doesn't live like around the corner. He lives out in North County. So he's got to go through something to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he ever be in church? There's no game for him to play that Sunday. We're not hooping later in the gym. Why would he be in church? I know why. Holy Spirit. That word's starting to take root. And that word, it may be taking time. Somebody out there who is a parent, I'm trying to give you a word of hope from the word of God. You're not seeing the results. You know, your child who you brought up in the way of the Lord, and then, you know, they went through that very common sort of young adulthood departure. Don't give up praying for them. Don't give up speaking God's word. You can't jam it down their throat. But that word of God in them, the Holy Spirit works through that. There is always hope. Here's this incredible happening. God, through his people, speaks his word, and many come to faith. And look where the word is spoken. We need to pause there too. Antioch. Antioch, I couldn't have been a better place. Some scholars would characterize it this way. At the time, the third largest city in the world, Antioch. A place where a lot of people were coming and going all the time, Antioch. At the same time, not just a traveled city and a very heavy populated city, like a New York, a Chicago, but at the same time, a very sexually immoral city. Now, and if you're coming there as a Jew, maybe you would be, you know what I thought of when I was thinking about this and reading this? I got a Jonah experience. Nineveh. No way, God. Not here. Not here. I mean, all the immorality going on, no way. Let's go someplace else that's a little easier. How many places today in our own ministries, in our life as a church, congregationally, church body, individuals, families, how many places have we sort of given up on? Now, I know everybody says, nope, we are the church for all the world and we don't give up on anybody. That's what we say. But you know, that's not what we practice. But here, look at what God does. God goes right to the place that he can make the biggest explosion. Even though it's hard. Right to the place where there's tons of people. You know, there's an interesting thing that just down the street here that President Dale Meyer is doing at Concordia. They're in
seminary.
At Concordia Seminary. They're in the midst of sort of revamping everything again. You know, and they do that regularly. And his newest thing is Concordia, the urban seminary. And I don't mean by that urban, the inner city, you know, African-American seminary. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the urban metropolitan seminary, because so many people, and no disrespect to my rural friends that are listening, but so many people, if they're not living in the city, they are certainly intersecting with the metropolitan areas today. And the metropolitan areas on a whole are where we as the church have struggled.
Your church is the, can I say it this way, poster child? You have this magnificent, magnificent edifice that surely when it was in full repair would take your breath away.
Yeah.
But it's fallen down now. It's in disrepair now. And you're doing Vibrant Church next door in what was, what?
The bowling alley.
The bowling alley.
Yeah. And that's the point. You know, God comes
in. What happened to those metropolitan, tall, steepled churches?
There was change. And the church got caught up in Judaism, as it were. You know? What I mean by the church got caught up in itself. Life changed.
Speaking only to Jews.
Life changed. People changed. People, that is, in the neighborhood changed. And we didn't go there because it was new territory for us. It was as if we were staying in Judea and Jerusalem. And we hadn't gone to Antioch. And yet here, now we know in Acts chapter 8 that we got the Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, you know, we have a Gentile convert, as it were, okay? But here is like where Gentile Christianity really goes. And see the snapshot here of the picture of God. Look at how God sees this. See, we've got a different vision of this many times. See, we look back at Stephen and we'd say, oh, our man Stephen, you know, he was put to death. We're next. God's just the opposite. No, he's put to death. Don't you see everybody who needs me? This is the moment. He takes and sends out, here's where we're going to do ministry. Let's go. Let's go. Makes you think of like David, right? That when the hand of the Lord is with you, that's the Holy Spirit happening. When the hand of the Lord is with you with the word of God. Remember what David...
I'm pretty sure that if I had been there, I would have been discouraged by the Stephen moment.
Right. But where does your encouragement and strength come from? I'm discouraged because of myself. Just like, remember David. David, from when he looks at himself, looks down at his feet, you know, looks at what he's got, of course he'd be discouraged standing in front of the 9-foot-tall member of the Philistine national basketball team, but great warrior also, Goliath. Mm-hmm. But remember what David said? He said, you come to me with spear and javelin and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel. You're going down. Game, match, set. It's over for you. That's the vision of faith. It's that God changes everything in this Holy Spirit happening. And that's the same thing he does for you and me in our churches. That's what gives us the courage to go to wherever our Antioch is that he's pushing us toward.
I got bad news for you. I wish that I, and probably many listening to you talk today, would consider only the Word of God. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and following. Because that's what it describes. But we launch our projects, we begin our initiatives, we undertake our plans, and then something like Stephen getting stoned to death signals us that we're going in the wrong direction. It's discouraging. And so we abandon those initiatives. I know you're telling us that that's not what God has in mind, but I think that's what happens about all the time.
We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Bible Study. Pastor John Schmidtke with us.
Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, will host Brunch at the Sem on Easter Sunday, April 4th, and on Mother's Day, May 9th, in Coburg Hall on the seminary campus. Brunch will be served from 10 until 3. The menu includes carved ham, fried chicken, carved roasted turkey, jumbo cocktail shrimp, eggs Benedict, and even Belgian waffles. Reservations are recommended for Concordia Seminary's Brunch at the Sem.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? A chapter in the Bible's book of Leviticus tells us about the year of Jubilee. The Lord proclaimed here that every 50th year all property would return to their original owners or to the owner's ancestors. The message was that this wasn't our land, it was God's. And when we sell our land, we are just selling the harvest until the next Jubilee. Another provision in Leviticus tells us about those who became servants during these 50 years. If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired servant and as a sojourner. He shall serve you until the year of the Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him ruthlessly, but you shall fear your God. Once more, this past Sunday's scripture reading of the parable of the prodigal son gives us a great contrast to the Jubilee and the attitude of the older brother. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends, but with this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." If there were a year of Jubilee celebrated in Israel during these days, then the property would be distributed to the two sons eventually anyway, and the son whose irresponsibility had forced him into servanthood would have his sentence commuted also. Mercy ultimately matters more than justice in the kingdom of God. Lord, teach us by this amazing parable to trust in your mercy and steadfast love, even when we really want to see your justice. For we pray in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has taken the whole world's justice into his own hands. Amen.
KFUO Radio invites you to join us for weekly Lenten worship. Every Wednesday at 11 a.m. we'll bring you a live broadcast of the worship service from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County. We encourage you to make this worship hour a part of your Lenten season. Live Lenten worship every Wednesday at 11 a.m. from your friends at KFUO. Because we are where you are.
Mark your calendar. It's the 19th annual production of The Promise in Litchfield, Illinois. March 12th, 13th, and 14th, and March 19th, 20th, and 21st at Zion Lutheran Church. The Promise is a contemporary Christian musical based on the life of Jesus, faithful to the Bible, performed by a cast and chorus of over 100 members from various denominations, and funded in part by the City of Litchfield Tourism Department. Don't miss The Promise.
Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Here on our Bible study program, Pastor John Schmidtke is here. He is pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in St. Louis. You know, one thing that we have implied, Pastor Schmidtke, but we haven't said, but I think is absolutely central to the conversation we're having here, is that you are, where did you grow up in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
You're a pretty white guy.
Been all my life.
Yeah. But you're serving as a pastor and have now for,
what, 15 years or so?
20
yeah. years at a church that is largely African American in a community that is almost entirely African American.
Sure.
So when you talk about getting outside the bounds of comfort, you really speak about that from a position that a lot of other people can't necessarily identify with. A lot of people who have in their lives stayed inside their comfort zones the whole way.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though, because in the day in which we live, even here in the St. Louis metropolitan area, and you see this all over, you don't have to go to Antioch anymore. Antioch's already come to you.
You'd be surprised how good we are at maintaining those,
right,
those barriers, keeping those fences high.
Right. But I mean, physically, spatially, Antioch's just down the street.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
not in my house.
In the St. Louis community, you know, you have a growing Bosnian population,
yeah,
a growing Hispanic population. What do you got across the river? You have growing ethnic populations.
Look,
over there.
I'm not saying that the things that you're talking about don't exist, but I am saying
we just don't want to look at them.
That we can get from house to work to church back to house without engaging any of that. We know how to do that.
Right. I agree.
And apparently they did back here in the first century as well.
Agreed. Maybe there's another explosion coming.
Maybe there is, but the only point I'm making is that you are the exception. You're not the rule. You're a Caucasian man.
Right.
Working as a pastor in a largely, if not entirely, African-American cultural and community situation. That's got to give you a perspective that many of the rest of us just don't have. Now, we can look over the fence. We can peek over there and see what Pastor Schmidtke's doing. But you live it every day, man.
Yeah, I do.
Don't minimize this.
I do, but, you know, there is a fuse, I think, that's lit for everywhere. It's a financial fuse. How many churches do you see that are struggling financially and struggling, you know, membership-wise? There's tons of churches that are in that way.
Yeah.
And that fuse, as a ministry gets smaller and smaller and smaller, as it gets harder to do ministry that it used to be financially and otherwise, as we can't do what we used to do or the way we used to do it, you know, isn't gaining the same results we saw in the past.
Right.
And we still look at results. I mean, you know, let's be honest with that. Those are the moments when, as we see people, and it's still a very mobile society, as we see people moving and new people moving in, I think that could be God's fuse that says to us, okay, your Antioch is right around the corner now. Now, what are you going to do about it? Because
ignore it.
Well, but see, you you can ignore it, except for this. Ignoring your Antioch is signing the death sentence, ministry-wise. You know, and a lot of people try to deny that, to say, oh, well, you know, we'll just carry on and, you know, we'll just, whoever comes in the doors.
Doesn't that explain why there are so many grand, majestic Lutheran or other denominational churches scattered, in our case, throughout St. Louis that are, the windows are broken out,
yeah,
and the buildings are empty.
Other and everywhere. And not just in the city. Yeah, not just in the city. But it's this call to go beyond where you are in Jerusalem to your Antioch. And at the same time, there are new ministries that are starting to go to the Antioch. God will have his way. And he'll either do it through you or through somebody else bringing the word of God. He's calling you to be his vessel. That's what he called you to be. Remember when he made you and me his people. 1 Peter chapter 2. You're a holy nation, royal priesthood, people unto God, that you may declare the deeds of our God, the good news of Jesus Christ, who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The fuse, of ministries to remind us we're not to be inward focused. We're to be taking the good news of the Jesus who keeps forgiving our sins to others.
Do you realize how radical, truly radical that statement is for the typical, usual churchgoer?
It's a radical statement, but it came from a radical message of a radical book from a radical God.
We need to read on here in order to get to the end of this chapter.
Let's go on till the end of 26 now.
At verse 22, the report of this, and of course this that we're talking about here, is the fact that the persecuted people who have now moved out from Jerusalem, talking to Jews and Greeks, and the church is growing because of it. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians.
You know, there's a mistake in the text. There's a mistake. Yeah, there's a mistake.
I have the Pastor John Lekomsky imposed English Standard inerrant version right here in my hand.
There's a mistake in the ESV, and there's a mistake in my NASB, too. It's in verse 22. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and here's the mistake, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. There's a mistake there.
Why?
Couldn't be. The text should read, and God sent Barnabas off to Antioch. I know I'm playing around with that. God sent them, sent him through they. But Barnabas was the man for this moment, particularly selected and sent by God. Barnabas was a Cyprian from Cyprus, a Cyprian Jew. Okay? So he's a Jew. But he would also, back in Acts chapter 4, 36 to 37, when they describe Barnabas. Mm-hmm. So he was the right man for the moment. Not only that, remember, Barnabas is a man who's focused on the grace of God in action. All over the book of Acts. And so here's this amazing happening.
These guys are so annoying. These eternal optimist guys like Barnabas.
No, but he's just the man. He's full of joy at people coming to know Jesus Christ, regardless of who they are or how they came to know. Now, that's a mouthful there.
Yeah.
You know, because, see, most of us get bent over, who came to know, who, they're not like us. Or how, they didn't come in the way that we had prescribed.
Yeah.
You know, not only this, watch this one. Barnabas, as I read the scripture right in Acts, throughout the book of Acts, it says he's full of the Holy Spirit. You know what's behind that? He's not full of himself. How many missions get just blown out of the water?
Does full of the Holy Spirit signify not full of yourself?
I would think. But I just got to say, not full of himself.
A rare
commodity. Do I have to say any more about that?
No.
Not full of himself.
No, you don't. Got it.
Not assigning all his own agenda or timetable or the way it's going to go or if it's dogmatic or theological
enough.
Could
Barnabas be a member of your church? Would that be allowed?
I didn't want
to indict my own church because I got to face those people on Sunday.
You know what else about Barnabas? He's the Holy Spirit man with a Holy Spirit attitude. He is a whatever it takes for Christ's mission kind of guy. Now think about this. You know, the Jerusalem church hears, in Antioch, the church is on fire. The church is growing. Many people are coming to know Jesus Christ. And back at headquarters in Jerusalem, they're sort of like, we got to see. Have they watered down the gospel there? We're sending a fact-finding mission. We got to see if this is... They could have sent some other people. You know what? They could. maybe if they would have sent Peter, you know, what Peter was going through in Acts chapter 10 with the whole eating, not eating thing, maybe Peter would have had a problem. Because remember this, everybody. Remember with Peter, it's a developing thing that God's doing in him, you know, continually. But they send Barnabas. He's a whatever it takes for Christ mission kind of guy. How do I know that? What did he do at the end of Acts chapter 4?
I don't remember.
He went down in his own
six chapters.
He went down in his own pocket.
Yeah.
Because somebody needed help in the family of God. He went down among his own assets, his own portfolio, liquidated some of his own land, gave the money to the church and said, "Here, help." Help. Didn't do a restricted donation. It was an unrestricted donation. Help, that they may know Christ. Help. Something else about Barnabas, and that's where, look at what he says toward the end of what we just read. He knows how to expand ministry and empower others. He goes get Paul. He goes and gets Paul involved. And then, when Paul and him get back, remember what it says? And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. He was committed to teaching the Word of God. He knew that the Holy Spirit pours faith in a person through the Word of God. He was right on target. That was a Holy Spirit man with a Holy Spirit attitude. What does that mean? Dripping with the good news of Jesus Christ and it coming to people. Dripping with the joy of seeing people's lives changed. Dripping with wanting to see the church explode even further. Not caring about the who is going to come to faith or the how they're going to come to faith. It might be a little different. It's still going to be through the Word of God that they come to know the cross of Christ for their sins and the new life that comes in the resurrection of Jesus. That picture excites me.
Why?
And it speaks to me. Because so many times I, and probably somebody out there listening like me, God puts the call of Barnabas to my life, to the people of Antioch that he sends in my path. And many times I stumble and get tripped up on myself and my way of how the ministry is going to be done instead of focusing on the Christ and that people know Christ. There is one other picture in here that excites me, and that is in the final verses, the 27th through the 30th.
Before we read those, let's take a telephone call here, 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Good morning, Linda. You're in the Bible study.
Good morning, Brother Radford. Hi, Pastor.
Good morning.
Jasmine. I'm sorry, Jasmine's seeing him.
Hi, Jasmine.
When you said God sent Barnabas, and you said God is sending us to someone, you said God is sending you to someone. Well, and what is so wonderful about the church, God never just sends one person to someone. You can be sure if God is moving your heart to talk to someone, he's already, you know, sent somebody before you, or he will send someone after you to tend to that seed. And that, you know, it's a development like you are saying. It's, you know, not just Barnabas, not just Paul, not just Apollos, one plants, one waters. God gives the increase. And, you know, even if someone acts like he would never listen, Saturday my husband, we go to his barber, and I've heard that other pastors have talked to him, and one of them he ran off because he said too much to him. And Saturday, it just came in my heart to invite him to church, and he stopped. He stopped cutting my husband's hair, and he wanted to talk about it, you know.
Well, you know, you never want to make your barber mad. That's one guy you don't want to make mad.
Oh, he was wanting to retire because of his heart, you know, and I'm thinking, I got to talk to him before he gets real sick, you know.
Yeah.
And, He took down the time and everything for our church, and I don't know, it's just like, I know that he may not come right away, but people will keep talking to him. And I think, you know, just like you say, Pastor, you know, you might not see it. It's just like planting a seed. You don't see a seed grow right away. It's going to come. It's going to take time. The root system is forming. And but anyway, God bless you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Great word. Yeah, that Linda speaks of real life. Linda speaks of real life. That sometimes it takes the seed of the word time. Not because the seed is messed up, but because of the heart is hardened.
You know what? I have a little theory here, and I'll make it short. But I'm inclined to believe that God, when he captures somebody, he goes out and brings somebody home, almost always does that over the course of time with a collection of people. Because if he were to have one person do it, one person be good at it, that person is in too much danger of getting a big head about all the great work that he or she does for the kingdom of God. And so he has one plant, he has one water, he gives the increase, and then there's somebody who does the harvest. And then when it's all done, nobody can really take any credit for hardly anything except God.
Those of us that are parents, we understand that. I don't have a lot of, it's with both guys and girls. I have three boys and one girl. You think, and you hear people saying, I remember when my kids were smaller, people would say, well, you are the main former of your son's and daughter's life. You will be the one. I learned as they got into the high school years how important it was for me to have other Christian men around my sons. Because sometimes I could say the very same thing that another Christian man was saying, and they weren't hearing it from me. But God sent someone else. By the way, that's the reason for being part of a fellowship, you know, of believers in a congregation, so that you got those people around that you trust and you know are men and women who not just love Christ, but have the real important thing right, that I am who I am only by the grace of God. It's all because of Christ.
Let's read verses 27 and following here. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul.
So this prophet comes down, Agabus, and says that there's going to be a famine in Jerusalem. And the important thing is not, you know, getting caught up in the whole prophet thing there of Agabus. The issue is this: there's going to be a need in Jerusalem. You've got these brand new believers, these Gentiles, Holy Spirit happening. Christ, the message of Christ has come to them in Antioch. Come through the Jews that were there who spread the word, cross cultures. Barnabas comes along. He fans the flame, him and Paul, and the church is growing and all that. And there would be every temptation for that church to maybe just stay inward. Well, we're getting big now and we got needs and we're building a new church and, you know, that whole deal. But the thing I love about this is that the last snapshot here of the Holy Spirit's work in the church is he works Holy Spirit hearts. So Agabus comes and says there's a famine about ready to happen in Jerusalem. There's this intense need. And it says, in proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them, these are the Antioch folk, determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brothers living in Judea. The brothers. You know how word travels, by the way. Maybe what the brothers in Judea at one time were saying about the Gentiles in Antioch wasn't very brotherly. But when Jesus comes, and you've tasted of a God who gives you his grace when you don't deserve it, it changes your whole view of life. He said, we've got to help the brothers. God, the Holy Spirit, works in them. A Holy Spirit heart, what does that mean? A heart of intense gratitude and a heart that goes right with that intense gratitude of spiritual obedience to their gratitude. What do I mean by that? I'm not trying to make a law out of the gospel. Nope. I'm saying when that gratitude for what God is in my life wells up within me as he was welling up in Antioch, these people were so great that they knew a Savior now and they would live forever. And the Savior Jesus, God for Jesus' sake, accepted them even in spite of their sins, just like he did for you and me. And they hear there's a need in Jerusalem. They got out their checkbooks. They wrote the check. They didn't even think twice of it. Or maybe some of them said, hey, we're going to go over and help them. Maybe they went on a mission trip. They invested themselves. I don't care what the investment is of time or talents and treasure. They didn't bat an eye. See, they weren't worried about what we would worry about. You know what stops us up there before we go and invest immediately? We're sort of like, well, if I do that, maybe what about, no, they weren't even worried about themselves. They already knew that God was going to take care of them. And that's when Christ is the good news of the gospel is in your heart, how God keeps pouring his life and in provision and his grace and mercy into you. You can't help but give. And they knew with their time on this earth, and what their money in their pockets, and what their talents and abilities were really for. Not for themselves, but for him, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, who was crucified and was raised for us. That's all they could do. And you know that too. Oh, I know. I get stumbled on it too. You know, pulling out my pocketbook. I get stumbled on it too by me stepping up to serve when I hear there's a need for help in ministry. I stumble on that too thinking, well, what about me? I mean, I got a family. I got to take care of them. I only got so much time. I'm barely making it now with all the work that I'm doing, and where will I get more time? But then I start thinking about him who for me gave his life, and him and the crown of thorns and the beatings, and he didn't have to be there, but he was for me, and him who was raised, and him who loves me in spite of how I am, and him who's faithful even though all of my faithless, broken promises, him. And I can no longer live for myself because the Holy Spirit has told me otherwise.
Your Bible study today is elevating. It's inspiring. Good thing you didn't have to get to verse 2 in chapter 12. Off with his head, James. Cut off his head. And that speaks, I guess, to the price. That's where it returns to being sobering again. But for the moment,
we're on the mountain.
We're on the mountain. Thank you, Pastor Schmidtke. God bless you. Pastor John Schmidtke, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Up next, in studio, Pastor Randy Wilkin is due in, and he too has similar experiences mm-hmm. to Pastor John Schmidtke. We'll talk with Randy.
Listen to Chuck Rathard and guest pastors Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.